You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We are back. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, and Browns fans join the 100,000 plus fans in the official Cleveland Browns fan club, the Browns backers worldwide. It's free to join the biggest organized fan club in all of sports. It includes team shop discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. To join, visit brownbackers.org. That's brownsbackers.org. Joining us now, Scott Petrak from the Liberal Chronicle Telegram, as I stumble over that, as I always do. Scott, welcome to the show. Just had Mike Pettine in studio. Again, very impressive. Just wanted to get your thoughts initially on what you thought and took away from his introductory press conference yesterday.
Yeah, that's a tough act to follow, guys.
We only bring in the top guys for that. Come on.
Yeah. You know, when I was impressed with him, you know, you see him in front of the media, and then I sat in a room with him for a while, and I think he's straightforward. I don't think he was trying to sell himself or win over a fan base or win over media. I think he was just honest and straightforward. And, you know, I like his roots, and you know, obviously it's way too early to tell if he'll be successful, but he made a positive first impression on me.
Scott, as you know, try to assess what he's about, and we're all doing the same thing. We're doing our research. We're talking to a lot of different people. People are weighing in. Scott Fujita via social media saying that he's been talking with people, and you know Scott was very critical of the Browns' coach search process, or pretty critical as time went on. Said today that he hasn't heard one bad thing yet in people that he's inquired about Mike Pettine. But your thoughts on the type of team you see him shaping. He made reference to toughness and accountability yesterday. Those are words. People say that a lot in these situations when they're newly hired. But do you have a sense, based on what you know about his background, of the type of Browns team that will be assembled, just in its feel?
Yeah, well, you know, by listening to Coach Pettine and talking to Joe Banner and those guys, you definitely got the sense that it's going to be a team that plays tough defense, isn't afraid to throw the ball on offense. And, you know, I think it'll be a combination of what you saw with the Jets, a really strong, aggressive attack defense. But he won't have the same personality as Rex Ryan, obviously. And then on offense, I think they'll throw early. But like he said, they won't be afraid if they get a lead to pound the ball on the ground.
Scott, one of the things that I like about him is, and I heard, I don't know if you got to hear when he was on with us just now, but he said in terms of assembling his staff, he doesn't care so much about the all-star. He cares so much about how people work together and how they're going to be able to work together as a staff and work with the players. Because I think ultimately what we're going to get here, and what I like, it sounds like we're going to get a Cleveland Browns family. Everybody is in this together. We are all on the same page. There will not be that big division. You have to be able to relate. What do you think about that? And take it a step further, how do you think that relates to the coaches that will come in, and what names have you potentially heard?
Yeah, I did like his answer to that. And I think it's important if you're, you know, I think we lose track. This guy's another first-year head coach. So there's going to be hurdles and learning curves. And the fact that he's able to have such a clear-cut vision of what he wants and articulate that, I think is important. And, you know, and the fact that he's saying, you know what, I don't need to have all-stars, like you mentioned. And he trusts his coordinators then to help fill out his staff. So I think that's a good sign. And I think you mentioned yesterday when we talked to him that it's not only, he doesn't want guys that he's only guys that he's worked with. He doesn't want just buddies, because then everybody has the same vision and the same ideas. He wants different ideas in the room, because that's how a philosophy grows. That's how you get smarter. So while I expect him to try to bring in guys that he's worked with before, you know, I know Jim O'Neill from Buffalo has been mentioned as a possible coordinator candidate on defense. I expect maybe he brings in an offensive guy that he hasn't worked with, and that way it broadens his staff, and he can trust the guy on offense while he builds his defense with guys he believes in.
Yeah, and I think when you examine his background and also listen to what he says about how he's going to go about it, he's going to be choosy. I like the fact that he was saying, number one, the fact it's so late in the process. He didn't just summarily dismissed that that won't be a challenge or that won't be tough. It will be. I think that that's being honest and realistic. But that said, you also don't just settle for people. You get people you want in here. And it sounds like the smart way of going about this is rather than forcing all the coordinators or both coordinators to work with staffs that they don't necessarily know, it's methodical, right? He bring in offensive coordinator, bring in defensive coordinator, get in a room and have them help pick the rest of the staff.
Exactly. I like that. And I think it's important that he said, even though we're behind the eight ball, and he mentioned that yesterday and again today, he wasn't shying away from that fact. He said, that doesn't mean I need to go fill out a staff right now. Because, that you know, when you rush into this decision, you have more potential to make mistakes. And maybe, you know, maybe the fact of the coaching search rubbed off on him. Because Jimmy Haslam and Joe Banner both said that yesterday about hiring Patton, that it was important. It's important to sit down with a guy, maybe more than once. I don't know if that'll happen when you're looking for a coordinator, but they sat down with Patton three times before they pulled the trigger. And, you know, we all assume, and, you know, I was on the pile that, oh, get this done, get this done. The fact is, if you're making a big decision, and for Mike Patton,
his first
big decision is hiring his coordinators, then you have to have a comfort level. And that only comes from either knowing a guy in the past or sitting down with a guy for a long time. Because we know anybody can be fooled if you sit down with a guy for 2 hours. You can be impressed by anybody. It's the longer you spend, the more you see the actual person and the true colors and all that is behind a guy.
It's exactly right. And I like that they took their time. And I like the fact that they decided this was their guy. I think that's the biggest misnomer that's out there right now about this coaching search is that guys that the Browns wanted to hire. Now, did Gase interview with them? No, he did not. He decided to not interview with them. But they didn't know that he was going to, for sure, if he interviewed, it was automatic that he was going to get offered the job. You never know what happens. I like the fact that I think Mike Patton, in some ways, kind of came out of nowhere. And it was like the more you learned about him, the more you read about him, the more you liked him. And it seemed that he must have wowed them early on and became the guy.
Yeah, I agree. Part of that, I think he did wow him and obviously impressed him enough. And if he hadn't, I think Joe Banner and Jimmy Haslam proved that they weren't going to make a decision that they weren't comfortable with. They were in no hurry to make a decision. They could have waited on Dan Quinn. We know they could have done that. So I think they were impressed with him. Now, the rest of it, whether or not coordinators pulled out and whether or not guys wanted the job, it depends who you talk to, and everybody's going to spin it their way. But I think they are happy with the outcome. And you know, during the search, you get caught up on so many things. The fact that Mike Patton's team went 6-10 last year, to me, doesn't matter. The fact that he's never been a head coach before could matter, but a bigger issue is how does this guy build the staff and stand up in front of 53 guys? And that's not necessarily reflected in a team's rankings in the standings. Or, you know, he had the top 10 defense, which is impressive, and it means he can coach defense, and I appreciate that, and that's going to be helpful when he's putting a defensive game plan together. But a head coach encompasses so much more. And it's always tough to tell whether or not a guy can succeed at that. And that's why it's a judgment call for Haslam and Banner.
We were talking about Mike Patton with Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, covers the Browns.
I'm going to be able to say that by some point.
We'll get you there.
I'm going to get there.
Elyria Chronicle-Telegram.
I'm just going to call it. Yesterday, you in the press conference, you did just say just the Chronicle-Telegram.
I did. That's fine. You can go.
I'm going to go with that.
All right.
From now on, I'm a CT man.
He's big time.
It's just the Chronicle-Telegram.
Basically, you just have to say Scott, and they'll know who you're talking
about. Everybody knows Scott Petrak, but I'm just going to go CT from now on.
One of the refreshing, among several refreshing parts of what we heard Mike Patton say, not only yesterday, but just here a short while ago on the show, was in answer to the question about the pathway to success and how this has to be shorter than maybe the typical first-year coach's pathway in light of the recent history of what you've had here, what happened to Rob Chudzinski, and the urgency, the pressure that is now on the front office to make sure this thing is right, that you can't really let anything truly marinate. Everything has to kind of happen in short order. I asked him specifically about maybe more simplified coaching points or coaching period or systems and all of that. And he acknowledged that. I mean, he didn't say, oh, we're just going to do – he didn't give that, you know, the pat answer of, we're going to do what we believe in.
He's
and
not
going to
give
work.
Pat answers. That's what I like.
I thought he was very honest about that, Scott. And right, Scott, because this has to happen – quickly for him. Quicker. It may not be fair, but so what? It's not fair to anybody. It wasn't fair to Rob Chudzinski that he got fired after 11 months, but that's how they're rolling here.
Right. No, you're right, and I think that's the way the league's moving. And it would be different in a different franchise. You know, I think if you were a team that's had some – well, when the Broncos lose Peyton Manning, whenever he eventually retires, I think there'll be a built-in, you know what, we might have to rebuild this. We're going to start over, new quarterback, maybe takes a couple years. But they've had that taste of winning. Their fans aren't beyond frustrated like the Browns fans are. So I think there is that pressure. I think he appreciates that. I do think he'll try to manage expectations as this goes on just because that's healthy for a coach. You know, you don't want people thinking too much, especially when you don't know who your quarterback is going to be 9 months from now. But I do like his honesty, and I like the way he answered questions yesterday, and I thought you saw a couple different sides of him. The fact that his nickname is Blunt Force Trauma, because he doesn't beat around the bush, I was impressed by that. And yet he showed a little sensitivity when he talked about his daughter and the text that made him cry, and he talked about learning from his dad. And he's got an interesting background. You know, I went back and I was watching some of these documentaries about his dad coaching high school football, and you see what a strong personality, and he's a screamer. And you can see, I think, obviously, Mike learned a ton from him, and I'm dying to sit down and talk with him more about it. But I think he's also built his own path, went to the NFL, maybe isn't quite as harsh as maybe his dad was. So I think he's his own man for sure.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's come through to me from talking to some of that players who played with him is that he can be very tough with the players who can take it. He finds really the way to relate to each individual player that allows him to maximize his message the best. And he does care about the players and ends up having very good relationships with them. And I think that is important. And especially with today's athlete, it's different. You know what I mean? You can't go out there, and that only works for so long. You see players, and you heard the report after, you know, it was announced that the Browns had talked to Greg Schiavone. No. Darrell Revis was like, we didn't even like going there. Nobody liked going to work for that. You have to have that balance and be able to show that multifaceted approach. I'll tell you what, just sitting in here with him, and you got to sit very close to him yesterday, Scott, he's a guy that you feel is the genuine article, and he's going to be careful with the media, but I don't think you're going to get the same old recycled coach talk. I think he's going to tell you honestly how he feels and how he sees things, and I think that's refreshing.
You're 100% right, and I think that comes from a guy who's comfortable in his skin. And we've seen that about other guys, and you know, sometimes you get a wrong first impression about a guy, but I believe that. He strikes me as being comfortable in his skin. He talks about wanting to change out of his clothes and get in the sweats and go start calling guys to be on his staff. And one of the quotes I took away from when we sat with him is he said, you can't be that military-type guy anymore, and you have to be critical of players without being demeaning. And I think that's where the Schiano type draw the line is, or they cross that line. They demean guys, and if you beat a guy down so much, players don't respond to that, just like people don't respond to that. So I like the fact that he threw that line right away.
All right, Scott, good stuff. Appreciate it, and I know we will be talking very soon.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Blunt Force Trauma, that's right. That's
I love that.
That's a great, great nickname.
Kind of looks like Goldberg.
Yeah.
Goldberg. Patton. Patton.
We got some good. Well, like you said, I'm looking forward to seeing some of those Goldberg moments.
This could be from the maybe this is in Kevin's department and fan experience, but yeah. I think when the Browns come to the field, they should have a video where he like comes out of his locker, a la Goldberg in the old days, where it says Patton on the locker, and he busts out of there and leads the team down the hall out to the field. It would be unbelievable.
There will be a meeting about that.
Yes,
I can see a meeting in the near future on all things camp planning, and you should throw that in there.
I will throw that out there. Yes.
All right, we have got more coming up. We're going to hear from Gerard Cherry in about 15 minutes or so. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_daily. Carly McCord is tweeting about this show throughout, and she'll be putting together the Browns Daily Wrap that will be posted, a little text version highlighting the show a little later on ClevelandBrowns.com. Stay with us. It is Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. He is Nate Dogzagura. I'm Vic Carucci, and this is ESPN 850 WKNR.